Hello, this is Jason Bowman from TaxMarketingHQ.com, and I'd like to welcome you to this monthly premium members CD. This is part of our Interviews with Experts series, and today I have the pleasure of being joined by Nate Haggerty. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm great, Jason. Thanks for having me, buddy.
No problem. Thanks for taking the time to join me. Before the call, you had mentioned that you're on actually on a trip with your family, so I definitely appreciate you taking time away from your family to have this conversation.
Well, you know, it gets into what's great about doing marketing online, which I know is the topic of today's call. You know, there's a flexibility that we now have, as you are very good at taking advantage of, my friend, given your world travels. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. This is not a problem. I don't mind getting a break from the family craziness because I do have a prosperous family.
Which I think is great. I'm actually slightly envious of that, and I'm hoping that similar things are in my future in the not too far out. And you're right. The beauty of doing marketing online is that we can do it from anywhere. For folks that are maybe new to premium membership, I've been location independent for approximately 3 years now, going on four, actually. And I travel the world, and I take my tax practice with me due to the beauty of technology. So I don't have a fixed tax office. I work with my clients remotely wherever they are from wherever I am, and I do some online marketing to help achieve that. But the reason I wanted to bring Nate in is because he is definitely the guy that you want to talk to in regards to doing internet marketing for your tax practice. He knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. So, Nate, could you give a little bit about your background, where you come from, how you got into this, and kind of the expertise that you have that you're going to share with us?
Sure. We've been doing – my company's name is Tax Pro Marketer, and despite sort of the internet marketing focus that we have, it is a very real business with multiple employees, and we, you know, have real offices and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, we've been location independent from the very beginning because of what we're going to talk about today is something that we've been putting into practice for years, not just on our own behalf, but on behalf of tax practitioners around the country. But, yeah, I mean, my original background, I was in youth ministry, and I got hired into a tax practice over a decade ago. And just basically, without going into the long story, I just needed a job. But I fell in love with marketing, and I fell in love with the marketplace in particular, and started attending all of these kind of bootstrap, doing internet marketing in their pajamas conferences. And, you know, Jason's familiar with some of these conferences. And really became a student of how to actually grow a business through the online channels. And specifically as it relates to lead generation, prospecting, targeting your marketing, but then email marketing follow-up and how to use that within the real confines of a local tax business. So we've been doing it for about 6.5 years where we've been not only, you know, coming alongside tax practitioners in internet marketing, but also some offline stuff too. But, you know, basically we've helped, we're near and close to 1,000 different tax practices around the country in the things that you and I are just going to talk about today. And hopefully there'll be a lot of information that we'll spit out today that, you know, people can put into practice. We also provide an opportunity to kind of come alongside people and help them directly. But really the purpose of, I think, the way you framed it today, is I'm just going to try to spit out as much knowledge as I can related to how to grow your tax practice in an online world and do it right, because there's a ton of junk out there, whether it's big corporate, you know, Thomson Reuters and CCH, and, you know, they do some things really, really well. But I think one of the biggest problems that tax practitioners fall prey to in our industry is that they pay attention to these big corporate entities when it comes to building their small practice. And by small, I don't necessarily mean revenue-wise. I just mean, you know, not a like huge multi-partner conglomerate, you know, mid-level or higher firm. You know, I think the kind of people that you and I have paid attention to over the years are really pertinent for the tax practitioner who's independent, because it's the bootstrapping internet entrepreneurs who I think have the most to teach us as it relates to really growing a business and growing a real small business in the online arena. So, yeah, I hope that's some clarity on where I'm coming from.
Absolutely. And the majority of the tax professionals that I work with, they are either solo practitioners or they have like one staff member that's year-round and maybe a couple seasonal people that they bring on during the 1040 season. But you're right, they're not big regional concerns or you know, like you said, mid-level and above type practices. Definitely not big four, you know, level corporate environments, I guess. So
yeah,
working with small practitioners is unique in that respect.
Well, and I think that necessitates a certain nimbleness that I think some people, they utilize it in their offline marketing and in the manner by which they serve their clients. Obviously, I mean, they're not, they know their sweet spot. You know, those of you listening, you know that your real edge is your relationship with your clients, and you're not going to, you know, become H&R Block. You're not going to become some, you know, huge behemoth tax slayer or anything like that. Your real edge is in relationship. And so that being the case, that definitely dictates how you should go about marketing your firm online. But unfortunately, a lot of the solutions out there have been designed with this commoditized approach that maybe worked well 15 years ago when, you know, in the industry we were all just, or 10 years ago, we were all just kind of claiming territory online and grabbing up a domain that matched our name and you know, just putting on a brochure online. And that was good back then. It was really good because you actually had a presence and demonstrated that you were a little bit more forward thinking. But now, I mean, everybody has a website. There's radio advertisements all the time about Squarespace and, you know, 1-800 website and all these different concerns that they'll churn you through a system that will slap something up there, sure, but there's so much more possible and available for an independent tax practitioner with the tools that are available now and the knowledge that we have of email marketing and how to kind of strike when the iron is hot for our prospects, that if you're relying on those sort of kind of commoditized solutions, if you can read between the lines, then in terms of what companies I'm referring to, then you're really, I think, being left behind. Because it's not about having an updated for 2014 or 15 design. It's really more than that that tax practitioners need to understand and implement.
Well, with that said, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that people could be doing, could be focusing on. And for someone that's not going to hire a professional to do it themselves, if they're going to take on the task in-house, it can be extremely overwhelming. So, you know, with that said, what would you say are the two or three or even four probably most important internet marketing strategies? I hate to say that, use that word, but, you know, as tasks, I guess, you know, that they should focus on. What are the big three, I guess, that they should be doing?
And you're smart to put it into three, because that's really, I think there's three primary silos under which really all marketing, but definitely in the online arena, should fall under. And I think they can connect to sort of offline marketing principles as well, but let's just kind of restrict it to the online world. And that is capturing the lead. And by that, I mean when people come to your website, that you actually capture their information and get permission to follow up with them. Because the reality is, you know, prospects for your tax practice aren't in like a buy now mode. You're not going to be Amazon.com or Best Buy or any of these e-commerce sites. People aren't looking to transact online per se. And if they are, then they'll go to TurboTax or TaxCut or any other kind of the huge corporate-backed entities out there, a tax layer, what have you, the ones that spend all the money on Super Bowl commercials and such.
Right.
So that being the case, if you're not going to transact the tax preparation process online, therefore your site needs to acknowledge that reality and have a mechanism by which you actually capture their information and have permission to follow up with them, usually over email, sometimes over phone or offline, but the best, most efficient way is to do it over email. So that's the first primary strategy. It's having your site built around the whole concept of capturing a lead. And the reason I put that in the first place is because unless you've got that, then all the other kind of strategies, the two other primary strategies that we'll talk about here in a second, they really mean nothing. So you've got to have a way to capture that lead first and foremost. And that can even be really simple, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. We can talk about some real basic strategies. But let's just kind of backing up again, the other two primary strategies. Then of course, you've got to get traffic to your website, you know, get visitors there. I liken it to, in the offline world, capturing a lead is like having a front door to your office or your store, so to speak, and making sure that it opens and that people can find it and get in. But then, of course, you've got to get, butts through the door. Pardon my mild French. you've got to get people there, and so traffic is something that you can't just sort of expect will come just by slapping up a website. There's so many different strategies. We'll focus on some of the primary ones related to, I think, search engine optimization, and basically that's making sure that you are found by those who are actively looking for the kind of services that you provide. Because those are going to be the hot prospects, people who are searching for a local tax practitioner. And I see the data. It is far more than I think a lot of people in our industry realize. People are looking, even online, for those kind of services.
And well, then, nobody uses the phone book anymore, right? I mean, they're
absolutely,
online for the same thing that they used to use the phone book for.
Right. I mean, I was running the marketing for a tax firm, and we spent, tens of thousands of dollars per month on Yellow Pages back in the day. And now, we had 23 offices, so that was, I don't recommend it.
So you were spread across different cities, so you had different Yellow Pages in different cities.
15 market areas. So, let's say just an average of about $800 or $900 a month, because we wanted a good Yellow Pages ad that converted. Well, in the same way, I think people should be absolutely looking at investing that kind of resource, whether it's in those specific dollar amounts or something close, in their online marketing, because it is the new Yellow Pages. It was back in the day that, the Yellow Pages was the main thing, but now Google is the Yellow Pages. And so that being the case, we've got to position ourselves so that we are found well in Google. And there's all kinds of mistakes you can make in that and some really smart things that you can do, and we'll talk about those. And then, of course, the last primary strategy is, you've got people there, you've captured their information, now how do you turn them into a client? Now, that's its own kind of art, also a science. There's some specific things that you absolutely must do, and if you do them, we'll bump your response rate and we'll get more clients, actually paying clients besides just, leads. And a lot of that can be leveraged and done online. So the three primary strategies would be capturing a lead, getting traffic, and then converting that lead into a client.
All extremely good points. And like you already mentioned, you can go down further each of those rabbit holes for probably hours for each of those. Let me kind of delve more into the lead capture side. Mm-hmm. I know that, that's all like on-page stuff. So once somebody actually gets to your website, how you capture them. So what ideas would you give to a tax practitioner that isn't currently generating leads from their current website? What can they do to change that and actually start capturing? What's the actual process that they go through for that?
Okay, so the big picture here is that, first of all, you've got to make it easy. And by making it easy, you've got to have it prominently displayed on your website that there is a way for them to go deeper with you. And so, you know, we're on a phone call. I can't really show all of the things that I'd love to be able to show.
Right.
But I think people can use their imagination to understand, like, you want to have a lead capture mechanism, what we call in the business, above the fold, so to speak. You know, and when you go to a website, like, the fold would be, you know, if people have to scroll down in the website to engage further. Scrolling is good, but we'll talk about that in terms of SEO. But just from a lead capture perspective, you want to have it real easy, real prominent. And then the biggest thing is you've got to give them a reason, not just like subscribe to my email newsletter. I mean, that all that says to people is, hey, can I give you some spam every week or every month? People aren't really looking to add more email newsletters into their life. So
right.
You've got to give them something tangible that relates to the desires and the needs of your particular target prospect. You know, say for a lot of your people, tax resolution is you know, something that they're, those are the kind of target clients that they're going after.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jason, I'm sure you've got some reports and whatnot that people can use
right.
that they can modify as a great, what we call a lead magnet. And I mean, that's a mental picture of what you want. Like, you want something that will magnetically attract people to hand over their precious email address. I mean, that's become a precious thing, because
yeah.
people sort of get that you're going to follow up with them, or you should follow up with them if they enter. And so that's give them something that will overcome that small kind of resistance that they have to doing that, but is compelling enough on its face that gets them to hand over the keys to their inner sanctum, i.e. their inbox. And so,
right.
You know, 7 strategies for getting out of IRS debt fast, 3 major mistakes most taxpayers make when trying to clear IRS debt.
Right.
You know, things like that. I'm sure do you have some of those already in place? I'm sure you do.
Oh, right? Premium members have access to an entire library of these items that they can use.
Convert that into a PDF with your own branding and your own voice and make that your special report or a free white paper or whatever it is. And those still convert really well. Converting some of those things into a video, just taking the reports that Jason gives you and reading them and turning it into an audio download. Give them stick your mug in front of a webcam on your computer and just go over some of the finer points in these areas. And you can, take the same content and create different lead magnets and test them out on your site. But the whole purpose is to have something that will get them to pass over their information so that you can build a deeper relationship with them over time, which is what you really want. And so a free report, a white paper, those have been tried and true, and they continue to work really well when they are implemented. Unfortunately, most tax professionals just don't implement it. They still have that lazy subscribe to our email newsletter or nothing on there. And so just doing that, I mean, it's the old, I think, Renaissance philosopher Erasmus of Rotterdam said, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Right.
And I'll tell you, if you just do that in our industry, you will see your lead flow significantly skyrocket. So
I have to ask you, when you talk to tax professionals and you tell them what you just talked about, how many of them do you have say, oh, there's no way that would work in our industry?
All the time, dude.
Okay,
but then when we see it implemented, oh my goodness, I'm getting a couple leads a week here.
Right.
Whereas before I was getting maybe a couple a year. And
right.
And it's all about giving what your prospect wants to them. And so making that prominently displayed on all pages of your website, not just the front page, but every page. You know, if you've got a blog, which I recommend for traffic purposes, for getting visitors, then having it on your blog pages and having an easy way for people to add their information and to learn more about you over email and other formats. But then you can also do some things like where you create just a specialized, what we call, landing page. And probably all of your listeners have seen those before online, where it's just a one-purpose page, and that is to get people to, you know, what we in the marketing world say called opt-in. And basically just it's the pure function of it is to say, hey, I've got this widget. Give me your email address so I can give you this widget. It'll be awesome. And, I mean, that's right. Not the copy that I would recommend. But, but you know, essentially that's what we're talking about. And you can set those up, link those to social media accounts. You can set those up directly on your Facebook page. Facebook now offers that functionality fairly easily. Hopefully people do have a Facebook page at this day and age, but that's another topic of conversation we can go into. but you can have landing pages on your Facebook page, link it to your Twitter account or LinkedIn profile. You can have it on, if you're going to do some pay-per-click advertising, you don't want to send people just to your boring, bland main firm website page that doesn't have any lead capture information. You can send it to a landing page. Now, if you're going to do Google pay-per-click advertising, you've got to have a lot of different ducks in a row because Google now really wants to make sure that even their pay-per-click ads don't just take people to pure, you know, squeeze pages. And by squeeze pages, I mean where it's just, give me your email. You've got to give them a little bit more information there to be sort of happy with the Google gods. But you know, those templates are out there, and again, we can help you with that sort of thing. But so having either standalone landing pages that you use in different marketing environments, whether it's, you know, postcards that you're using in a radius mailing environment or pay-per-click advertising or social media, those are great places to have these standalone landing pages where you just gather leads. But definitely on their main firm website, have that be a focus. So is that helpful?
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for going through all that. And I want to kind of as a technical piece, I'm really curious. A lot of folks may not know what this is, but maybe you can fill them in. I'm curious what your opinion is on the use of lightbox pop-ups on a page in order to ask for opt-ins. I use them pretty extensively on all of my various websites to gather opt-ins. Some people are annoyed by them because they're usually on a timer. So I'm curious what your thought is on those, since you deal with this a lot more than I do.
Well, it's a tricky deal. I think the tax practitioner has to sort of balance some considerations here. Because people come to you, Jason, or they come to me knowing that we are kind of marketing experts and there's a certain expectation that environment will include that kind of thing on a site. And I think that there's no dramatic penalty that's assessed in the sense of like the visitors to the site won't be taken aback. I think for a tax practitioner, it perhaps could be a little aggressive.
I use them on my tax practice sites.
You do? Okay. Well,
I do.
I think the reality is that you will gather more leads. And I think if you're comfortable with annoying certain people that may not even be good clients anyways, then have at it. I mean, I think it's fine. I think you will gather more leads when you kind of make it a little bit more explicit in that way. Personally, we have not implemented that for people. we've never had that requested. I've actually never tested it. It's just in my gut that it's a little too aggressive.
Gotcha.
You know,
no, I was just curious what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I mean, the people that we end up helping do pretty well as it is. That, you know, I think that we could get more aggressive, and I'll have to add that to my development list to test it out with a few people.
Cool. Thanks for addressing that. I was just curious if you'd.
I think it's doable. I just think that, you know, a lot of
there's a quality issue.
Yeah, and I mean, if you do it in a classy way, there's definitely bad ways to do it. Then
yeah.
it can be real synergistic. But I think a lot of tax practitioners are not maybe as devil may care as you are, Jason.
So. Yeah, I will. Yeah, in my marketing, I do a lot of things that folks cringe at. You know, I have no qualms sending postcards to tax lien lists of businesses, you know, or the employees that get the mail, you know, see this giant postcard that says, "Hey, you have a tax lien filed against you," you know, whereas a lot of practitioners, you know, have reservations about doing that. And I acknowledge the fact that I'm a lot more aggressive in my direct mail in particular.
But there's a lesson, you know, there. I mean, you're more aggressive, and you're also you've established quite a healthy practice, and
right.
You've become the go-to guy in our industry for a reason, you know, for in this area. And so I don't have a problem with aggressiveness. I just I'm aware of the fact that, you know, a lot of your students have to be taken along a path, and a lot of the people that we work with have to be kind of brought along, you know, a progression. It can be like jumping into the Arctic.
Well, yeah, the side of tax resolution that I come from is the aggression is by an unlicensed salesperson employing extremely aggressive sales tactics on the phone. And so
right.
I refuse to do that on the phone. So I am a little bit more in their face on the mail side. My online stuff is relatively benign, actually, in comparison to my direct mail stuff. But kind of moving on to some next stuff. This is kind of a traffic-related thing, and we're about halfway through our time, so I definitely want to make sure that I ask you about this. Because I know that premium members that are listening to this are going to ask about it. If I failed to ask you about it, I'd hear about it. So, in regards to social media, how can tax practitioners leverage social media to the greatest extent? How can they get the most out of their social media engagement and time efficiently? Utilize those services. I mean, you know me. We've talked about this. I'm fairly anti-social media. I don't
right.
get it. I don't really use it. It's not. I don't enjoy it really. So I do other things to make up for that on the marketing side. But a lot of practitioners want to know how to maximize that engagement. So, you know,
okay.
What do you have?
You hit the nail on the head in terms of time efficient, because that's really the key thing. Because social media is still like a big cocktail party. And
right.
so, you know, the reality is that those who want to have a business that is real, that grows, that, you know, where they are in the power owner position should not be wasting a lot of time going to cocktail parties all the time. And, you know, it's like in the offline world, just going to networking events all the time. You know, that's fine in small doses, but it's not something that should take up all your time, because you've got to do the business owner type activities. And so I recommend people just outsource those social media. It's come to the point where you kind of have to be there. If you're not, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, and even Twitter these days, if you don't have a presence there, then you really are missing out on a huge population of people who are talking about different services, talking about anything and everything online. And so you want to be a part of that conversation for sure. And so you've got to have a Facebook page set up for your business, not just because it's just to have a presence, but it ends up becoming a real great place for client service, for spontaneous testimonials, for referral generation to occur. I mean, that is probably one of the primary things that social media does, is it really automates and makes easy that referral process, because people can post a link to your page to invite their friends to come to it. So you've got to have that Facebook page set up. And then when you've got that Facebook page, you've got to make sure you're posting to it at least a couple times per week. My recommendation is daily, because if you've got a Facebook page and, you know, it almost doesn't matter how many likes you have on the Facebook page. I mean, that's nice. I mean, we've helped people go from nothing to thousands and thousands of likes and tens of thousands of Twitter followers, you know, through what we do for people. But
wow.
You don't even have to get to that extent. But if it's a wasteland, like if there's no posts happening, then you might as well not have it. So you've got to have it, but you've also got to have content on there. It's just the cost of doing business. And so my recommendation is that people find someone that they can trust to either do it on their behalf, whether it's one of their employees or, you know, find somebody who can do it for you, which we can do. But again, this isn't a pitch for our services. It's more just you've got to have that presence, because not only does it make it referral generation a lot more automated, but those profiles show up very high in Google search results. And so when people are looking for you, say someone like gave them your name in a real networking situation, whether at a cocktail party or something, and they'll Google you, the Facebook and the LinkedIn stuff and Twitter stuff comes up really high. And so my recommendation is have those profiles maximized so that you can capture leads from them, like the Facebook page. Have a lead capture mechanism. It's called fan gating. You know, have a way that you can direct new visitors to your page to get more information and click on add their email address. You know, in your LinkedIn profile, but do more than just connect with them, but post content. And again, that's something that we can help you with. You can always have someone else help you with. But if you know, back to your original question, to get the most maximum leverage out of social media for social media's sake, you've got to spend a lot of time on there yourself and do that networking. But there's higher payoff activities that tax business owners should be concerned with, but they should still be doing it. Does that make sense, Jason?
Yeah, I guess the question that comes to me out of that is, I mean, is it something that you can 100% automate without actual engagement, or do you actually need to be responding to tweets and comments and things?
You need to be responding to tweets and comments.
Okay.
And that's the sweet spot for it. If you just put stuff out and it's all broadcast and there's no responses, then that's problematic. You know, my kind of formula that we work off of is about like 50 to 70% of tax-related content, about 20%, 15 to 20% related, like kind of just current events or inspirational style content, and then personal stuff, you know, where the owner can pop in and make a few, you know, local market related things or talk about employees or things like that. Just people do want to see like the real face behind the business. But then, yeah, when there's actual responses and questions, you've got to get back to people quickly. And so, again, that's something that we do on behalf of hundreds of different tax firms around the country. And we handle everything, the engagement, the posting, and everything. But, again, this is
I didn't realize that. How do you handle the engagement for those practices? I mean, do you have your staff members that are actually engaging on these Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Actually, I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. Anytime there's any kind of comment, Again, I don't want to turn this into a pitch for our services, but anytime there's any kind of comment when we're working with a tax firm, if most of the time we can answer it. But if we can't and it's something specific, you know, tax expertise related, we'll just forward it to the client and ask them to instruct us how they want it answered, or give them the chance to do it themselves and show them how they can do it easily. But a lot of times the answer is, you know, that's a great question, Joe. Give me a call at da-da-da-da-da, and let's talk more about that. Because this gets back to what social media really should be. And so I think this is what people perk up and write this down. Social media is a front door for the business. The primary goal of social media is to get people off of social media and get them into deeper levels of communication. And specifically, email marketing is still the best way to build leverage in a tax practice, because those that do email marketing effectively and see social media as like a front door to build their email list and to grow a herd, so to speak, of people that are paying attention to their emails, those are the ones that do really well with social media.
Okay. I in my practice, I tend to do pretty well with email, but the entire the way that my sales funnel for tax resolution works is that either through my internet stuff or through my direct mail, I get them to email, and then I use my email autoresponders and broadcast emails. The entire purpose of that is to get them off the email and onto the telephone. It's on the telephone where the magic actually happens. And so it's pretty much the same process you're saying with social media.
Well, yeah, and so you know the drill, Jason. I mean, first of all, like, you want to make it as easy as possible for every prospect to get their itch scratched. And so you want to have these different front doors, whether it's social media or Twitter, or Twitter is obviously part of social media, but, you know, whether it's the different social networks or the phone or email or fax or walking in the front door of your office, you know, it's good to have every door open, so to speak. Now, you've made the conscious decision not to have a front door of your office, and it's every other kind of easy front door that you have, and the phone is really where the magic happens. And I agree. I think the purpose of email marketing is to get people to walk in the door or pick up the phone. In your case, it's pick up the phone exclusively, but, you know, the folks that we work with, it's both. Email is the next step in the progression, where social media could be a front door. Email's the kind of the take the relationship. It's like the second date. Social media or the firm website is like the front door. And then email is where, like, the wooing really happens. And then, you know, the deal is sealed over the phone or in person, so to speak. So, go ahead.
That's a really good segue into you had mentioned one of the other third components was conversion. And in our remaining time here, I actually want to talk about that. So you already gave one example of, you know, somebody on Twitter says, hey, I got a question, blah, blah, blah. And you respond, hey, that's a great question. Give me a call. Well, what is the, I guess, the basic premise behind how you leverage social media and your email engagement to drive that conversion? You know, what sort of processes are you seeing most effective at actually getting people off the social media, off the email, and walking in the door physically to get their taxes done?
Good.
What are you seeing effective in that process?
So there's kind of two primary mechanisms, maybe three. The third one being kind of a ancillary to the first, but I'll get to that. The first one is having an autoresponder in place. And that is that when somebody does go to your website and enter their information, that there is an immediate response, that free report or whatever lead magnet that they requested is delivered to them quickly. But then the real magic happens when you've got a 3 to 5 or even 7 step sequence that happens automatically, where the prospect gets to know the tax practitioner and some of their philosophy behind how they do what they do, and It doesn't have to be a big sales pitch, but, you know, at the PS of the email, you've got different ways that they can pick up the phone and ask questions or what have you. But it's really what we call a warm-up sequence where, again, you introduce yourself, you talk about your particular expertise, but really do the hard work of trying to get into the head and the situation of the prospect. And so by communicating and having some effective emails, you know, that are dripped out to that prospect over a span of 2 weeks or so, you basically communicate to the prospect that you understand their world and that you are the kind of the answer to the problems to the questions that they had when they came to you in the first place. And that can all be automated to go out over a set amount of time. So you've got that first, that autoresponder sequence. And a lot of times that is all you need if somebody's really hot. But The reality is people, you don't always know exactly why people are coming to your website or what have you or giving their information. And it might be that they're just kind of researching it, and when tax season comes, that's when they're really ready. So if that's the case, you've got to nurture them over the course of the year. Whether it's tax season being the time that you harvest them or during the off season or whatever it is for your particular prospect, you've got to have that top of consciousness relationship. And to do that, you've got to have conversational, authoritative email marketing. And, you know, you do a good job of this, Jason, with the things that I see that you write, because you give enough of yourself that people feel like it's coming from a real person. It's not just like some generic tax tips that anyone could find with a simple Google search. I mean, that's the primary mistake people make in our industry with the email marketing. They think that email doesn't work because all they see are these monthly commoditized tax tips that come with the commoditized website, and they do nothing. It just basically, it's just more spam for the user, for the recipient. But when you can, I recommend people eliminate the graphics, eliminate the fancy headers, and send emails that look like a person wrote them, that don't scream, "I'm being marketed to." And
right.
get rid of the headers, get rid of all that stuff, and write normal plain text emails that talk about current events, that talk about personal finances, talk about some tax stuff, of course, because you've got to establish your expertise, but don't overwhelm people with jargon and net operating loss carryovers and all the different, 1031 exchange below. You know, just give them enough that they understand that you know what you're talking about, but build a relationship with them. And to do that, you've got to like be seen as a trusted expert in a whole host of different topics. So so I recommend people send out a weekly email. When you do it right, when you're conversational about it, we've got clients that have been doing this for a while. Would they, if for whatever reason they stop, they get dozens of emails like, where's your weekly note? I thought you wrote these emails and I look forward to them. You know, when you do it right, you become like a part of your clients and your prospects' week that they look forward to. And so that's the power position, is you've got that nurtured relationship so that when, they're finally ready to pull the trigger on a resolution event or get their taxes done, you're like, there's no competition. You own their mental space in that category.
Right.
And the only way you can have that position is if you are in front of them on a regular basis. And it's also great for retention with existing clients or, like say you've got a resolution file that you handle and you do well with, but keeping their work for life. I mean, that's really what you want. And so having effective email marketing makes that happen.
You know, like you said, the clients for life, I talk a lot to readers about maximizing lifetime customer value, which is a straight up Dan Kennedy concept.
Right.
And you're right. Doing that through engagement. One of my biggest pet peeves with tax professionals that focus heavily on tax resolution or almost exclusively on tax resolution is that they don't have anything in place to offer additional services to those clients. They turn and burn those clients. Well, it costs a lot of money to acquire a client.
Yeah.
And to not maintain that relationship, you know, to not offer additional services to that client is they leave a lot of money on the table that they could have coming into their firm. And, you know, so, you know, I encourage people, you know, email, broadcast, like you're talking about, monthly client newsletters, you know, through direct mail as well, just to maintain that relationship and always be offering, you know, additional services and making sure that those people become clients for life, not just for the one problem that they came in for.
Exactly. Yeah, and like we mentioned with the Yellow Pages ad, I mean, it's just an investment that you have to be doing at this stage with time and resources. I mean, move your investment from the Yellow Pages and invest online. Invest in getting traffic, you know, and that's unfortunately something we haven't really had a ton of time to talk about. But, you know, you've got to do the right things for Google to see your site, you know, to be number one. You know, we've got clients in so many different market areas who are number one first page of Google because they're putting fresh, updated content. They have a blog that isn't just the generic crap that everyone else puts out, but it there's keywords related to their particular market area. It's fresh content. It's put up on a regular basis. They've got a site that promotes engagement with the site itself, which is a new thing for 2014 that Google is really paying attention to, how long visitors stay on the site. It's not just having fresh content anymore. It's you've got to like incentivize people to scroll down to click on different links. Google's paying close attention to how long people are staying on a site, to whether they're bouncing, because that shows Google kind of how authoritative and how like pertinent that site is for the particular search results. So yeah, you've got to make the investment in retention and the online marketing world these days, or else, I mean, you're really kind of getting left behind. So yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to take us into that traffic rabbit hole, but I realized that we hadn't really addressed that too much. So I mean, fresh updated content, having a good domain that matches what people are looking for, having page depth, making sure that people are linking to your site with social media accounts, using the right platform, and I recommend WordPress. Just making the investment in these areas to not only keep the clients that you have through effective email marketing, but also making sure that you are like the go-to person in your market area when people are looking online. I mean, that's the investment that small practitioners just simply have to understand is, like, if you want to grow, you've got to do that.
You know, speaking of traffic, what would you say is the aside from social media that we already talked about, what would be the other biggest off-page factor that you're seeing as relevant to boosting local search results for the folks that you're working with?
So by off-page, you mean things that are not controlled within the confines of the particular website. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I'm not talking about H1 tags
and
page linking and updated content and all that stuff. But
yeah,
but
those are important
page factors.
I mean, those on-page factors are still very important. But you hit it.
Right.
All, I mean, you've got to have both. And so I think press releases have been really fruitful for our people. Articles out there that link back to your particular site. Social media accounts, making sure that your site is set up with different aggregators and RSS readers. I mean, there's a whole host of them. But then right now, a big deal is the local listings, and making sure that you've claimed and done it in the right order with, you know, Yelp and Yahoo Local and Bing and yellowpages.com and the different, there's like 12 or 13 significant local listings that you need to make sure that you have claimed, because the mobile device thing, I mean, that's a whole different revolution that's happening where
yeah.
so many searches are happening on mobile devices, and the local results are what come up in the on the mobile devices far more prominently than just the regular organic results. And so you've got to be thinking about a strategy for being high in those. And so the simple trick right now that we've continued to see to be the most fruitful strategy is claim all your listings first before you claim your Google local. And if you've got all your listings like in Yelp and yellowpages.com and Superpages and those different and Yahoo local, if you've got those set up, then claim the Google listing. You'll be high on those results. If you've already got your Google listing, try to get some reviews, because they want to have people who are actually reviewed. It shows them that, like, that's something that, you know, people, you're a business that people are talking about. So try to get some reviews from your customers, you know, posted on your Google account, and that'll help you, that'll boost your, if you've already claimed your Google local listing. So, yeah, press releases, articles, local listings, social media, those are, I think, the primary things that people should be paying attention to.
You know, it's interesting to hear you mention the articles, and I did hear you mention this on a webinar you did a week or two ago about article marketing, and it's just it's refreshing for me to hear that, because it's something that I still do, and I never stopped doing, although for the past 2 or 3 years, everybody was saying, you know, because of, you know, some of the Google algorithm updates, you know, Panda Penguin, all the other birds,
yep.
That, oh, article marketing is dead.
No, and it's not. It's dead not. If you do it in a, it's dead if you do it in a, like, game the system kind of way,
right,
which is how
right.
a lot of our internet marketing friends do it. But
right.
when you and I translate it into a real tax practice environment, it's definitely not dead. It, you know, the Google wants to see that you're an authority in the particular topic. So if that can be handled, you know, if you can post some articles that are picked up by different article sites, then that's just one little notch in your favor, as long as it's not spammy crap that
right.
that you put up there. And that's what's dead, is the spammy crap.
Well, what I've come to tell people that I talk to is, you know, if they're talking to a local SEO person or a local website development company, or you know, their own teenager, you know, that's going to
yeah.
help them out with the web stuff. I always tell them, if you hear the words article spinner, you should run.
Run fast. We've had I could tell you bad stories, but yeah, Google slaps those sites down to page 30 of
right.
Search results. So yeah, absolutely.
Wow, Nate, you know, you've definitely shared a lot of both high-level, you know, big-picture overview, as well as, you know, specific technical information here. I actually generated well over a page of notes for myself while you were talking, actually. I definitely appreciate you sharing all these strategies and your expertise with my members. You know, if somebody, you obviously do this for tax professionals for a living, so if folks want to learn more about how you can help them do this, you know, and outsource it to you, how can they get a hold of you? What do you offer in terms of the turnkey systems?
I'm not going to go through the whole pitch, but I'll give people a few different places that they can kind of see more. You know, if you really want to grow and you really are ready to make the correct investment into your online presence, I mean, if you've heard kind of something that you like, then I just recommend you take the bull by the horns. We do a refundable, 60-day refundable deposit process by which we will handle everything I've talked about, from email marketing to social media to getting traffic to your site, to making sure that it converts properly. I mean, this is by far our most effective, most popular, really full suite functionality. And people can place a refundable deposit at taxfirmwebsites.com. taxfirmwebsites.com. Again, taxfirmwebsites, plural with an S, .com. Place that refundable deposit. We have a guarantee in place such that if you don't like anything, we'll just, you know, cheerfully refund any fees, you know, that you might accrue. But we'll handle everything from that point. So taxfirmwebsites.com. If you are still just sort of on the fence about this and maybe you just want to put in a couple strategies, then another place that you can get connected to, well, we have an offer. We can do social media and email marketing and not mess with, like, the online lead capture and the traffic stuff. You can go to taxprosocialmedia.com, and you'll see a great offer there. And say you just want to, like, kind of, like, check out us a little bit more, just go to taxpromarketer.com. That's our main business website. But, again, if you really want to take this to the next level, just go to taxfirmwebsites.com. Place your refundable deposit. I recommend the full suite. There's different options there, but do the full suite. It's actually a smaller setup investment. But again, it's all refundable. You know, if you don't like anything, we just, you know, we will cheerfully part ways. But the ones that end up taking advantage of that service, it's full. I mean, it's basically, we just handle everything for you, and people are really happy with it. So
you handle the engagement, the lead magnets, the lead capture, the social media engagement. You handle that
all of
whole
it.
Process.
All of it.
Okay.
All of it. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I know it is. I mean, obviously, I believe in what we do, but, yeah, there's other marketing agencies that see what we do, and they're, like, gobsmacked that we – provide what we do at the investment, the low investment that it is. So, yeah, it's the best place for people to really take the bull by the horns.
Awesome. So, again, that was taxfirmwebsites.com.
Yep.
Get your full suite of offerings. And just the social media stuff is at taxprosocialmedia.com.
That's right.
For just the social media stuff. Well, Nate, we're just about out of time for what we can fit onto a CD, so we need to wrap up. I definitely appreciate you, again, taking time away from your family while you're on vacation to chat with me for the benefit of my premium members. This has been really, really good information, so thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, man. This has been fun for me. You draw me out well, so we'll have to do more of these. So, thank
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot, and enjoy the rest of your vacation, and I will be talking to you soon.
All right, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.